Welcome back to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. If you have any questions or if you just want to say hello, you can drop me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com. Now, earlier this week, the High Court said that the names and addresses of some 300 dodgy box users are to be provided to Sky as Sky continues to tackle illegal streaming of its content. This is a significant development in this story. For quite a long time, the dodgy box sellers and providers were the ones who were in the spotlight. However, Sky is taking things a step further. The judge in this case, Brian Cregan, granted an order providing that Revolut Bank must share the details of 304 subscribers and 10 resellers. So the Revolut comes into this because that was the method used by the end users to the dodgy box sellers. Now, Sky is saying that they won't go after all 304 of the subscribers. However, that information is expected to be used to take legal action against, firstly, the resellers, and secondly, some of the end users. Now, I know people have extremely strong feelings about dodgy boxes and obviously about the cost of TV and streaming, particularly sports. The sports packages are incredibly expensive, but it does seem like action is being taken to crack down on this. And I wonder if you are someone who has a dodgy box, would the fear of Revolut sharing your details with the court or with Sky via the court, would that make you get rid of your dodgy box or think about it twice? Again, I know people who are saying that I can get all of the channels, including the sport, for 70 quid a year versus ridiculous amounts of money every single month. I understand that. But having spoken to an awful lot of people in the independent TV and movie business, in the broadcasting business, right across the spectrum, the use of dodgy boxes, it's not a victimless crime. We often think of just the big providers like Sky or Virgin or whatever, but there are people lower down the food chain here who are impacted by the lack of revenue that is coming in to the bigger providers. So like, I don't really want to get into the big debate around it again, but I would love to know your thoughts. If you are someone who has a dodgy box, are you contemplating getting rid of it now as a result of this? Again, the email address is techtalk@newstalk.com. Elsewhere this week, the All-Ireland Science Media Centre opened at Airfield Estate in Dundrum. This is designed to counter misinformation in media reporting, which is obviously a super important issue. I'm delighted to say that Claire Machiavelli, CEO of Airfield Estate and chair of the All-Ireland Science Media Centre, is with me now. Claire, I'm delighted to talk with you. Before we get into the centre itself, for anyone who's not familiar with Airfield itself, can you just give us an overview?
Yeah, so most people would know us as the 38-acre urban farm and gardens in South Dublin, just a stone's throw from the Dundrum Town Centre. So we are a charity left to the people of Ireland by two amazing ladies called the Overend Sisters. But we are essentially a visitor attraction. So we welcome about 245,000 visitors onto the estate every year. And really, we're about getting people to connect with where their food comes from. So we're a working farm. We're milking every day. We're collecting the eggs. We're rearing. We're growing. We have a beautiful restaurant, cookery school. So a lot happening on the estate.
Yeah, it's somewhere that for those who follow me on Instagram, you'll see pretty much every Saturday that I'm there because it's a lovely market. But for young kids, I have loads of nieces and nephews and we go and at a certain time you can watch the eggs being collected. There are activities for Easter camps and all the rest. So I'd highly recommend a visit if you haven't been in a while. But we're talking about something a little bit different this week because an event was held on Wednesday. Can you just tell me what it was?
So we launched the All-Ireland Science Media Centre hosted at Airfield Estate this week. And I suppose for us, people might who know us might be thinking that's, you know, a little bit strange for a visitor attraction. But people probably don't know that in 2023, we became a research organisation in our own right. So we are registered by the Department of Education. We have our first PhD student. We host public engagement against events in science like Science Week. So for us, there is a real gap in making sure that we're getting accurate scientific expertise to the public through the media, particularly on topics that are relevant to airfield, like food, ag, climate change, biodiversity. And so my own background, I've worked in science communications for a long time, and we decided with support from the UK science media to do a pilot in 2024. And basically, the premise of the organisation is that if scientists were better connected to journalists, there would be better reporting of science by the press.
And so in terms of, because I completely agree, the diversification of voices is very important. But how important is it that those diverse voices are, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but are able to make it, to share the information in a way that is digestible? Because for me, again, as somebody who loves science, I love reading, but I always have to have my phone on hand to do a quick Google to make sure I understand the terminology and so on. Because it is important that people not only get the information, but they understand what's being said.
And we're very fortunate. We have an amazing member on our team who spent the last 5 years working in the Science Media Centre in New Zealand. So we're kind of like the broker in the middle. So the scientists will send in their quote, their comment, and we look at that, you know, through that lens and go back and, you know, we might tweak it slightly. We might ask for further clarification. I mean, you know, as well as I do, you know, the what we need to provide is short, snappy comments. But at the same time, there's a scope to give a little bit of background to the piece of research or a little bit of context. But definitely that kind of middle broker model has been really successful. I mean, SMCs have been running for 25 years in other countries. And you can imagine, particularly during COVID, how it really came into its own.
Yeah, one thing that's fascinating, well, I don't know if it's a good thing or it's not a good thing, but going on social media now, you can see people who present themselves as being experts or authorities on scientific topics, things like agri, climate change, all the rest, and they are putting information out there in such a confident way that on first glance, you'd almost buy it. But there is a lot of mis and disinformation out there about these issues.
Yeah, so my background's nutrition, and I've worked with nutrition researchers and scientists my whole career. And look, everybody eats. Everybody thinks they're an expert. And there are people who do the old four-week course and call themselves a nutritionist or a nutrition therapist compared to those of us who spent years studying. So, you know, there's and I suppose on certain topics, our sense and also a small piece of research which we did with the scientists that are on our database, I mean, misinformation is rife. And so what we try and do is particularly engage with the news media, the breaking news media, to get the science in at that breaking news point, not, you know, weeks down the line. You know, it is about being reactive. And like, everybody's busy, scientists are busy, but, you know, we're definitely seeing a real interest in scientists who want to get involved from all the universities around the country, which is amazing.
No, it is. It's fantastic. Another challenge that is impacting every sector is AI and the generation of AI slop. So content that looks incredible and better than anything I could produce, but it's junk. It's a waste of time, a waste of space. How challenging is that for this sector?
So at the conference, at the launch, we started to touch on AI, and we decided, you know, you could spend weeks talking about the impact of AI in this space. So, but look, it's not something that's going away. I think for scientists and for media, I think that's why we're really focusing on reputable sources supporting news media, particularly in Ireland, you know, supporting radio, that's still such a great source of information all around the country. But definitely it's about making sure that the two groups involved, so reputable scientists who are publishing all the time, are interacting directly with scientists.
And as you look ahead then, so the launch was held this week. What is your ambition here? What would make your heart happy in terms of success with this project?
So at the moment, the centre is hosted by Airfield. We're a registered charity. Kind of at a governance level, we'd hope that the centre would become a charity in its own right. That's the model in other countries. And that'll just take a little bit of time, you know, to become a registered charity. For us as well, it's no surprise, it's about funding. So, you know, we've huge support from the universities and other professional bodies. I think there's a role for industry in this, tech, engineering. You know, there's amazing research and scientists going on within industry. But, you know, if you're getting involved not to see your brand or your company in lights, you're getting involved because you want better reporting of science, tech and engineering by the press. So that's definitely a push for us over the next couple of years. I think as well, the advantage of being part, so this, we are now the 8th Science Media Centre. So the advantage of being part of this global network, because if a story breaks in Australia or New Zealand, our SMC colleagues are all over it. And then, you know, these are big international stories that then spill across the globe. So how can we work better as a network? I mean, many stories, Trump, Tylenol, pharmacy, paracetamol that we had recently, you know, that was a massive global story. So how can we work together as a network and getting other voices into the conversation as well?
You alluded to some stories there, and it just made me chuckle in a sad way, in that as a journalist, I know that a fact is no longer a fact, because some of the sources that we used to turn to for accurate information are now putting out content that is then deemed to be mis and disinformation. I suppose that just reinforces the importance of getting voices you can trust and turning to sources that you can trust so that the general public can get accurate information.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. Like, it's a sad state of affairs, but the timing is perfect for the launch of the All-Ireland Science Media Centre. Now is exactly when we do need it, you know. And so, you know, I'm already hopeful that we'll come into our own. Sadly, you know, that we will come into our own over the next couple of years. And then we were talking to the SMC guys in Australia. You know, they set up just 20 years ago. And now this is really random, but Steve Irwin, you know, the famous TV presenter, he had died recently. And the SMC New Zealand was really unknown. And all of a sudden they were putting out quotes from scientists about how tragic this was. And, you know, even that engaged the general audience in science. So you just never know when there's going to be an angle to get involved. But I suppose I'm really keen for younger voices, more female voices. It doesn't have to be the professor. It doesn't have to be the head of the department. I mean, we really need to be getting and supporting younger voices. And this is a very safe way to do that.
Yeah, well, look, I am thrilled to see this happening. And I am delighted to see that Airfield is the host for it. If people want more information or to support it, where can they go?
So it's sciencemediacentre.ie. I suppose it's fair to say I'm the only CEO who works with Santa and scientists. So, you know, please take a look at the website. And particularly if you're a scientist and you're interested in getting involved, that we really need more scientists on our database across all topics. I know Airfield is very focused on food and ag, but this is about scientists across all disciplines getting involved. So, yeah, love to hear from people.
Brilliant stuff, Claire. Thank you so much for joining me here on News Talk.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, that was Claire Machiavelli, CEO of Airfield Estate and chair of the All-Ireland Science Media Centre. Now, I was in Latvia at the start of this week at Radio Days Europe, which is an industry conference, obviously enough, for people working in the radio sector and the audio sector as well. It was a fascinating few days. There was a lot of talk about where we are and where we're going, but I met some brilliant tech companies whilst there as well, because as we know and as we've spoken about on this show over the last number of months, AI is coming. You might remember we did this. Well, today I want to talk a little bit about voice cloning. Obviously, working in radio, our voices are our tools and people will know what we sound like if we have a cold and so on. But I wonder if you would know if what you're hearing isn't actually me. What you're listening to right now is actually an AI voice clone of me. I made it at 11:30 this morning, sitting at my desk in less than 5 minutes for less than €3. Now, it doesn't sound 100% to me, but what do you reckon? Would you fall for it if I didn't tell you it wasn't me?
Yeah, that is my AI clone. I don't know if you think it sounds like me or not, but that is just one small example of a synthetic voice. I actually met a radio station, somebody from a radio station in Finland, which has an afternoon program fully presented by an AI voice, which I'm not sure how I feel about. But while I was there, I met a man called Patter Coyle from a tech company called AudioStack, and he told me about what they're doing.
AudioStack is an AI agentic platform, and we accelerate the production of audio for media and entertainment companies throughout the world.
So for those who don't work in this sector, what does that mean?
We allow, by leveraging AI, we generate broadcast-ready content, whether that's advertising or creatives or podcasts or newscasts or whatever.
What goes into the production that the AI can then help with?
You know, we bring in sounds, we bring in like predictability, we apply mixing and mastering engines, and we make sure that, you know, things sound in a like a cohesive, coherent manner.
And from a listener's point of view, will they notice any of the AI anywhere?
No. It's all human quality, and it has been for a couple of years.
And in terms of, we're here at Radio Days now, we have everybody from community radio, local radio, national radio, we have podcasters, we have podcasting houses. It's obviously a huge opportunity for you guys. Sure. In terms of your current customer base, where are you gaining traction right now?
We're fast growing in the US, but we have a presence throughout the world, India, Europe, Australia, and North America. And quite a lot of our customers are here today.
And are they traditional broadcasters, or does it tend to be more podcasters?
It's a blend.
Really?
Yeah. From podcast networks to... one thing we're seeing is increasing fragmentation in the media landscape, but also increasing consolidation. So quite often podcasters are owned by traditional broadcasters or acquired by traditional broadcasters, and also things like streaming platforms sometimes can be, you know, acquiring or consolidating with podcasters. And quite often they're doing distribution deals, which of course was mentioned in a few of the panels today.
Yeah, that is Patter Coyle of AudioStack. That might seem quite inside baseball if you're not somebody working in production for radio or podcasts. But it was interesting for me, somebody who's worked in this industry for 18 years, to see how, where, when and why technology is coming into my house, essentially. And I think it's brilliant to see the balance between useful technology and then replacement technology. So yeah, I'll obviously be watching with great interest what comes down the tracks on that front over the next few years. But that was just a mini what I did on my summer holidays / work trip during the week. Right, when we come back here on News Talk, I'm going to answer your tech questions.